Welcome, it's the Scare Guy. It's all about zombies this week. This week on The Walking Dead, we say goodbye to one of our last remaining cast members. Very, very sad. Also, we have the Southern Fried Zombies in the house. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Zook. This week, Luke is a Zook. Luke is showing us how to make some zombie drinks this week on The Scare Guy.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Ooh.
Ooh. It's raining!
Oh my god!
Yay! All right, everyone, know it is raining here in Los Angeles because we got a great big leak right there.
Man. Oh, it never rains.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna put here.
I thought that was all for looks.
I've got a bucket for it.
No.
Welcome to the Scare Guy show this week. This right here is our weekly show about all things scary, Let me get this. Here.
All things zombie this week.
Sorry, we're a little bit discombobulated because we're having a big rainstorm here in LA and the rain is coming through the roof.
And it doesn't rain much, and people in LA
never
are like,
rains.
It's raining,
yeah.
Why do we dare?
Ah. I know. We're such wimps here in Los Angeles. Oh no, it's sprinkling. Anyways, welcome to the Scare Guy show. We are glad to have you. My name is Jim. I am the editor-in-chief here at the Scare Guy. It's thescareguy.com, also the Scare Guy show. Please subscribe to the show here. We would love for you to keep up with us. And hey, Luke, turn that off.
Somebody's
Luke.
Video.
And So please subscribe to the show here. Sorry,
give
things are going to crisis.
Up.
Give us a thumbs up. We would really love to have you guys following us here. Anyways, you can find me at Con Guy Jim. We have a house full of some of the best, most zombie-terrific people ever. So let's go around.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. I'm a host here at the Popcorn Talk, After Buzz, and more.
Hey guys, Angela Relucio back for more action on The Scare Guy. You find me in the interwebs and social medias. You know my handle.
Christian Hokanson, screenwriter of Attack of the Southern Fried Zombies.
Woohoo!
Thank you. Whoops. What?
It's getting all exciting.
A bit of the brim on the mic. Professional.
Oh, Megan. I'm in the movie.
What's your social media handle? Where they find you online?
Megan_few on Instagram.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I have a website, MeganFew.com.
So boom.
That's it. Yeah.
All right.
My name is Timothy Haug. I'm an actor in Attack of the Southern Fried Zombies, and you can find me at I Am Timothy Haug on all the social media platforms. Hope to see you there.
And who else do we have on the couch?
And I'm Cheeseman on the couch. You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyLuke and also on thescareguy.com.
Fantastic. Brad says, it's not raining. God is crying about Carl.
As are we.
We had a lot to talk about this week. Coral. Anyways, first of all, let's go ahead and get the drink out of the way so we can start drinking this. Cheeseman, what is this that we're drinking tonight?
It is a classic tiki drink, the Zombie.
The Zombie.
Made of two different types of rum. We'll actually put three different ones in here. It's got the light and dark rum, orange juice, lime juice, lemon juice, and then also that orange, however you say it.
Curacao. Or Curacao.
Did he mention he put three different rums in there?
Triple sec would work, too.
Could smell it.
It's a Trader Vic special.
Are you posting the recipe online?
We probably will.
If they follow you, they get the recipe.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do we drink to like Kevin Smith's Health or something?
Let's do it. We're just drinking because it's the zombie drink. This is the zombie show tonight.
All right,
Cheeseman. I wanted to get that out of the way because I wanted to start drinking. Because that is the best way to enjoy Attack of the Southern Fried Zombies. I tell you what a ridiculously over-the-top but fun zombie movie that is.
Bottom line, it came to me as a request, you know, to kind of help out on an existing script that just had the bare essentials as far as, you know, some character. And it didn't necessarily have the heart, had a lot of the action. And so I was able to kind of rework it so that we had more of an ensemble cast, had a little more heart, really got to the town, you know, about the town and everything, because we had a great location already set up.
Everybody, this is Christian. He is the writer of Attack of Southern Fried Zombies, right. formerly Kudzu Zombies. Let's show him the comic book. And we are going to be jumping into this a little bit later. We're going to kind of dive in deep and get to know you guys a little bit more and find out what your experience was on this show. I'm from the deep south. Well, I used to live in the deep south, in the middle of all the Kudzu. So I absolutely love the idea for this film. Carrie, where have you been?
Yeah, I missed you all.
We missed you too.
I went to New Orleans, Louisiana for a week. Got to experience Mardi Gras.
That's fantastic.
And yes, I got beads, but contrary to what everybody thinks, you get them like whatever now.
She didn't have to drop trowel.
You don't need to do anything. They will toss, like, they get to a point where the parade floats are going by and they'll toss bags like they can't open it in time. They'll toss it. They do hurt. A lot if they hit you in the face. I got a couple beats of because they will chuck them at you off the float, and so and then people are violent. They'll like get in your face for
that's
them.
Me.
But there are some specialty ones, and so the different groups of the parades are called crews, and it's K R E W E, I think. And they have specialty ones that are hand painted or handmade. So those are the cool. Now those are the specialty ones that you try to get, but you have to get their attention and. Anyway, so that was really fun, and also went to the Western Caribbean, but in Louisiana, I got to do some horror stuff.
Wait, and it also went to the Western Caribbean.
Wait a second. On a cruise, I won.
Where didn't you go?
I know, exactly.
Huge. But in Louisiana, horror-related, I got to go to Lafayette Cemetery, number one. Mm-hmm. If you go check out my Instagram account, I did a video walking through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have another video. I'll be posting that later. I went on a ghost tour with Witches Brew Tours, which I really enjoyed. And I did a video of that on the Horror Movie News, which is tomorrow, Tuesdays, at 4 p.m. Went by the American Horror Story Coven House.
Oh, nice.
You can go right by that. And the Delphine LaLarue. I was like,
that's right.
It's Kathy Bates' character's house, or where that character.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're from Louisiana. So I'm sorry.
Oh, cool.
We'll go there in a second.
And so anyway, the tour took you by that, and that was really cool. It was a nice little walking tour. Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop, went there unintentionally, but found out that's on a lot of lists of horror places. Muriel's Restaurant, walked by that, and also this Supreme Court building. Probably went to other places too, but those were some of the highlights on tours. And I thought it was a lot of fun. And I mean, they're kind of like maybe a little cheesy, but the history that you got when you walked around with your guide was, mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. And then the cemetery was on your own. You do not need to pay for it. So if anybody makes you pay for it, it's a scam. Because there's tour guides outside. They're like, hey. And you're like, no, it's free. You just walk around inside.
Yeah, they dress like Jean Lafitte and they dress like.
No, that'd be pretty cool. Like,
and
if
they
know,
say they're
up.
A valet and they have a uniform, they're not.
Yeah.
So Megan, you're from Louisiana. Or you lived there for a time?
I spent the last 6 years there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Wow. So, like, I'm an honorary New Orleanian.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, more than five, for sure. You're honorary.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been on some of the ghost tours here?
Oh, not in L.A.
I mean,
the,
in
New Orleans.
Not L period.
I can't say you're from L.A. over there. Right. Like, oh, I mean Los Angeles.
She's from L.A.
I went on a couple.
Period.
I'm a huge fan of ghost tours.
Oh, yeah?
I love them. Mm. So I'll probably be shopping around for some here. So cool. If anyone has, like, suggestions. Like,
hey, the ghost hunters are here, you know?
The Taps
Ghost Hunters right here in L.A., yep.
Okay.
So
you go to the abandoned zoo.
Oh,
that's a spot
that's
creepy.
Yeah.
Oh.
The old Loma Linda Hospital, before it was made into condos, was very haunted.
Ooh.
There's a lot going on. Anyways. Anyways. Yes. So we are 8 months. I just want to let everybody know, 8 months from Halloween.
Woo!
Two months from halfway to Halloween.
I was already thinking, I'm like, I'm getting ready to go to like the horror theme park. So I was like, when we went, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to go again.
I know. Well, I went just this past week. Me and Luke. Anthony, if we can start. We went to the Stanley Kubrick The Shining exhibit at the Mystic Museum this weekend, and we have a few photos from that. If you can just kind of, yep, there's Mr. Jack Nicholson himself.
That's a great piece of artwork.
It's a really great. What was this? It was our friend Brad was telling us about it. It's a bunch of artists get together and they create art.
Yeah, it's a collective of people, but a lot of it was Shining based.
Very cool.
Oh wait.
Part of the gallery, and that was awesome because they actually
We broke it.
They had great picture spots. They had the bartender there,
yeah.
Which I don't know if that was part of it, but that was the best one, you know, where you can go in there and get a picture.
Was
the
that
line
one
was
week
pretty
only?
Short.
No,
it's still ongoing.
So this is over in Burbank at the Mystic Museum. It's going for, I think, a month. Mm-hmm. So you guys can go check this out.
Right there on Magnolia.
Anthony's going to go. Yeah, it is such a, and it was a great party, too. And then we met somebody who does, oh, look at Shelley Duvall. I love that.
Oh, that's
love
great.
That. We met somebody who does the makeup for Six Flags. What's theirs?
Horror Nights.
They're Scream Fest. Six Flags Scream
Fest.
And they have started meeting already. So I imagine that a lot of people are already starting to meet.
Oh, they're planning.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I remember auditions and things for the horror parks are in like end of July or August. So that's
it's hot. Already I once, many moons ago, auditioned to be a vampire cage dancer, and it was like a 3-hour long, 110-degree process.
Well, you know.
Oh, my gosh. All right. And we're going to be getting to that piece of artwork in just a second here. But let me go through real quick. There's a bunch of events happening that if you guys are interested in enjoying.
And it was Colton Tran that did the record piece.
Colton Tran. What's his name?
Colton Tran.
Colton Tran. Okay. Yeah. The record piece. And they are for sale. A lot of the pieces are for sale, of course. And there's a lot of prints for sale. And it was a kind of a creepy experience. I mean, like, the entire store, Mystic Manor, if you guys aren't familiar with that part of Burbank, it's part of, like, a couple of blocks of very horror-themed establishments. There's the Halloween Town, then Halloween Town costumes. There's the Creature Features. There's this. There's
Dark Delicacies.
Yeah. which just so many great. If you're a horror fan, it's just a heaven up there.
I think it was Dark Delicacies just did a art tribute to Tim Curry.
Same night, Tim Curry was there.
And he was there.
Yes. Yeah. They were, because this part of Burbank doesn't have a lot of people in it on Saturday night, and we showed up. And there's like people around the block. We're like, what the heck is happening here?
The line in Burbank.
I know, it was so cold.
It's not a. Yeah, what's that bakery they have? The
Porto's.
Yeah. Usually there's a line around.
There's always a line there.
But it was a lot of fun. And Brad, if you're watching, glad you took us to that. That was a lot of fun. You should have gotten us in, VIPs. All I'm going to say. All right. Colton Tran, right. Anyways, so that was a lot of fun. If you get a chance, if you're in the LA area, you should definitely check that out. But I was going to go through, there's a lot of events coming up. Monster Mania Con, March 9th through 11th, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Horror Hound Weekend, March 23rd through the 25th, Cincinnati, Ohio. Spooky Empire, Orlando, April 6th through the 8th, Monster Palooza, the 13th through the 15th of April in Pasadena. I will be at that. I hope a lot of us will. Texas Frightmare Weekend, May 4th through the 6th, Dallas, Texas. Scarathon New England, June 15th through the 17th, Framingham, Massachusetts. Just two more. Midsummer Scream, July 28th through 29th in Long Beach. The pre-sales for that convention start this week. So if you want to get in on one of the early tickets, they are 75% off this week, Midsummer Scream. Just check them out online. Scare LA, they have moved their convention. They were in the early part of August. They have now moved off of that. They're in August 25th through 26th. I heard they just met this week, and they are planning a big horror-themed festival this year. It's going to be more entertainment-themed, a little bit less convention-y, and so it's going to be something very, very cool. So
probably better to be end of August anyway, because beginning of August you're too close to Comic-Con, and the end of August you're right at the start of all the horror theme park time.
When does Son of Monster Palooza happen, though?
That's in the fall.
That's fall.
September. Okay.
So do you go to that?
Yeah, Burbank's. Yeah,
That was great.
Okay.
We got our true horror fan at the table tonight. This is awesome. So that's a bunch of conventions that are coming up. I like it that Scare LA moved, because I always like to go to the U.S. Open of Surf down in Huntington Beach, and that's always that first weekend in August, so it's kind of great that they moved that off. All right. I think the next piece of artwork we have, Attack of Southern Fried Zombies. We are so glad to have you guys in the house with us tonight. We met some of you down at the Long Beach Comic-Con, Long Beach Comic Expo. You guys had a great big presence down there. Mm-hmm. And before we hear anything about the film, Anthony, do we have the trailer that we could show? And we're going to go ahead and show the trailer here in just a second. All right, here we go. Goriest film. Best multi-zombie kill. So it's opening in...
It's March 23rd?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Call that a screen.
Maybe you could tell us how it is that the dead can walk around.
Mayhem. Killing. Planes.
Does that have anything to do with the stuff you were spraying this morning?
Could be tied up with the chemical they're testing out there.
There's Tim.
That's me.
We see a lot of zombie heads being hit.
What the devil's hell is going on in my head, huh?
Cannibalism, sir.
So what we're watching is a lot of people running and heads blowing up.
It's mayhem.
Mayhem and kudzu being pulled out of skin.
Lots of zombies.
You'll have to define kudzu.
Okay, we will just one second.
Yeah. Big explosions. Yeah.
Ooh.
Say goodbye, creep.
Bam, bam, bam. That's awesome.
Right there we have a little homage to the original Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, so let me just ask you right up front.
Sure.
What is this movie? This is crazy. All right, yeah. Tell us a little bit about it.
So, kudzu. Kudzu is a invasive species of vine called Japanese arrowroot. It's another technical name for it. And it was brought over to this country at the turn of the 20th century and then largely planted in the 30s throughout the South for soil erosion and everything. Mm-hmm. And it just took over. It went nuts. So if you go to the South...
You're driving through the South. The mountains are covered with this. There's houses covered with this. Buses. You didn't know they were there.
I've seen it, but probably have known what it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And down in Atlanta?
Yeah. Okay.
And it's a climbing vine, and it chokes the life out of anything, like trees. It climbs up. It just
people try to get rid of it.
They do, and if they can't, they might cook with it because the leaves.
It's
in the pea family. Like, oh, okay.
So, but somebody had mentioned to one of the producers on another film they were shooting. I believe it was called Texas Heart, that they also filmed in Charleston, Mississippi, or parts of Mississippi, and. It was mentioned to him, why don't you make a film about kudzu zombies? And, you know, one of those things that just comes naturally like a thunderbolt from the sky. And the producer sat on that for a while, and then they'd start to develop it. Mm. And I was brought in to kind of give it a different angle, and it took a whole, you know, the carnival, everything was not in the original concepts and everything, but I needed a really good setting to, you know, and we had these meat pies because the kudzu gets eaten by goats. The goat meat gets turned into meat pies. The meat pies get consumed by average Charleston Carnival goers, and they become zombies.
Bet you've never seen that before.
And it's horrifying. Yeah, it's just horrifying. So,
That's why I'm vegan, but anyhow.
You'd be vegan after that.
You can still eat the plant.
It is.
I mean, yes.
The vegans actually come out ahead in this movie. Yeah.
That's a first.
The wave of the future, man.
So we have two of the stars of Attack of the... Attack of the Southern Fried Zombies. Right. We have Tim and Megan. If you guys can tell us what parts you guys played in the film.
I'm Lonnie, and I'm like the hometown kid, the small town kid, and I'm a crop duster pilot. And I have a love interest in the movie, and we all kind of relate to each other in some way. And we end up being the, I guess you could say, the saviors, or we try to be, because you never know.
But not the kind of saviors from The Walking Dead, right?
Yeah, there you go. That's not a good thing.
The heroes, if you will. Maybe.
Heroes.
It becomes like a family. I mean, in zombie movies, typically people get thrown together and they have to act like family. They have to. I think one of the things George Romero was really known for, and you know, the social angle of his films and everything, but one that. The main themes is that if people don't work together and they start to work apart, they're going to be lunch.
So. That's exactly what happens. We just all come together, and then you find out what happens. Do we succeed?
And then what about your role?
I play Jennifer. She's a badass. She carries an AK.
Yeah, she
kicks
does.
Some ass with her girlfriend. That's my love interest.
Her love interest, yeah.
So.
And then how did you both find out about this project and what made you want to do it?
Do you want to go first or do you want
me to? Well, you're saying that because you want me to go first. Okay.
Go first.
Mine was like quick. I had auditioned for it and I got like a last minute. I got the script sent to me last minute and they're like, we want you to play the part. And it was like a week and a half before the actual shooting of the movie.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay. And I, like, skimmed my part really quickly. Okay. And then you know, I got a chance to go over the whole script. But then I was just like, yeah, I want to do that.
Nice.
Lead zombie killer.
I love it.
Sold. I'll do it.
Yeah.
What about you, Megan?
I'm going to put this down because I talk with my hands. So I was at my little sister's graduation, and I was turning up with my family. And I get an email from my agent. She's like, hey, there's this production company. They're doing this zombie movie. I had a zombie movie on my bucket list. Like, I needed to do a zombie movie before I die. So she had the script, and they're like, hey, they want you to be this one character. And let me tell you, I mean, we were already, like, you know, well on our way in the night. And I'm like, you guys! Everyone's like, ah! So the night just, it was super fun. It was a shoo-in, basically. Like, I wanted to do the zombie movie. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. it was a done deal. I read the script. I loved what Jennifer was about. So it was easy.
And then you totally overshadowed your sister who was graduating. No one cared about her.
Yeah, no, actually.
Everyone's like, tell us about your movie.
Oh, man. It was a fun, it was like the perfect time.
So you guys kind of took over a town to film this film, it looked like, right? What was the town?
Town was Charleston, Mississippi.
How did you get the town?
Again, you know, the producers had used the town previously.
Do people live there?
People do live there. It's not just a movie set. But we, you know, they were so inviting us to use the town the way we wanted to, as long as we respected the place.
Right.
They helped us out with catering. They helped us out with extras. I mean, most of the extras are from the town itself.
Okay, they looked like very local people.
Yeah.
Now tell us, someone famous comes from there. Yes, Morgan Freeman. That's right.
That's pretty great.
And of course, nearby is his Ground Zero coffee shop, or not coffee shop, Blues. Joint.
He's on the poster. Welcome to Charleston.
Oh, that's awesome. So cool. But what was Tallahatchie?
Tallahatchie County, yeah. Tallahatchie Courthouse, which plays a big part in the movie, actually.
Now, Carrie and Angela are both filmmakers and actors as well. What kind of questions do you guys have for them?
Well, actually, I was going to ask, so from the writer perspective then getting your actors, how much were they like what the script you had in mind, and then from reading it, how much do you feel you guys related to your characters? Well, no pressure.
It's unusual that writers get invited so far into the process sometimes if they're a gun for hire. And I was invited into the process for casting. Is this kind of what you imagined? And so I had some input there as far as, because, for instance, Jennifer and Trish in the movie, Jennifer played by Megan Few and Caitlin, who played our Trish, I wanted them to have the dynamic of Night of the Comet, the sister act in that, and kind of
classic
the
80s film. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, they really did. And when I got to set, and then again, you know, writers don't often get invited to set, and director Mark Newton was very gracious. And then seeing that, you know, we had hired, because I hadn't met anybody until I came, and I came midway through the shoot and met everybody, and I couldn't believe how close everybody fit.
Nice.
It was very iconic in a way. That
That's
they
cool.
Were able to, you know, well, own the role.
How about to get a little bit more taste? We have another clip of the film. Mm. If we could look at video clip number one, a little bit from this film here, or two, whichever one. There we go. Oh. I'm missing.
Put the table down so the fur is out.
You can hear the zombies go crazy. That's barbecue, right?
our effects people did not scrimp on the explosions.
It looks like I love the killer clown.
Oh, our killer clown.
Fantastic.
It's like if you're afraid of clowns, it gets worse.
There you go, Tim.
And here's a little bit of the fun over the top gore you guys can get.
What the hell got to this clown?
If I knew that, guess I'd keep it a goddamn secret from you, Ed.
Make me sorry I saved your stupid ass.
So,
right there, by the way, we have Escalante Lundy from Django Unchained.
Yeah,
who played
yeah.
Big Ed. And Moses Mosley from The Walking Dead is in it. He played one of Michonne's pets.
Nice, nice. Let me ask you guys, what are some
of the... hold on. We didn't get to hear how much do you feel you related to your character from, like, reading it and then being it?
Yeah, reading it was... My agent, in the email, she asked me to read for Winter Grace's character. I forget her name. Character name.
Winter Grace's character, Kayla.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know if I'm right for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then she emailed me back, oh, wait, no, it's for Jennifer. And when I started over, read it over again, I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, she's cool, and she's a badass, and she gets to, like, probably hang with a really hot girl. Like, I was like, yeah, this will be fun. Like, it was definitely, it was an easy decision. It was totally easy.
Yeah, every character gets their moment and has a bit of depth to them and has some development along the way. So it was tough to decide, you know, who to feed to the horde.
What's the best way to watch this movie?
Wasted.
Okay, completely. Zombies.
Zombies.
That's another drink. That's our cue.
It's, you know, a perfect
Do you have a drinking
college
game
dorm night
rules
movie.
Oh,
absolutely. All right. We should. Yeah, definitely. You know, it's the type of movie that, you know, you fix yourself a few drinks, spark up your favorite herb.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Just like they were searching
for. You could probably make it from that plant.
Yeah.
So, hey, what are some of the funniest things that happened in the production that you guys can remember?
There were so many things. It's kind of hard to recall, like, all of them.
Your fave.
The funniest.
Yeah.
The
funniest? Wow.
One of the
well,
funniest.
Well, okay. This is like some, you know, BTS, you know, behind the scenes chat.
Oh, hey.
So the three ladies in the film, they had us all in this beautiful home. Thank you, by the way. Thanks, Dan.
The chateau.
Yes, it was wonderful. And none of us had met each other or anything. And we were all huddled in, I think it was like Winter Grace's room in the morning. And we're like, oh my gosh, you know, who are the other people in our movie? Oh, I saw a name on one of the call sheets. Let's look him up. I think it's Winter Grace is like, I think it's the guy who's playing my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, you know, we're all like looking him up on Instagram. I'm sorry, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Clay's going to love it. Okay. So we pull up his Instagram and we're like, he's good looking. We're like, oh my God, we get to meet him tomorrow. We're all like, you know, running around.
So the truth comes out.
Well, you know, Clay is a gentleman. Yeah. And he was like, you know, very upfront, I have a girlfriend who is lovely. Brenda is.
He's a Burbank local, actually.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I think
so,
there was like so many things on set.
There were so many things on set.
Well, like, there were like little things. For example, like, we did a scene where blood splattered onto an apron, and somehow all the aprons disappeared. So they're like, we have one take. Make sure this is a good take, because we can't find any aprons and we can't buy any. We don't know where to buy it. And then, okay, I guess I'll do this in one take. Let's do it. So, like, things like that.
Did you ever get grossed out? It was a pretty splattery movie.
They put a prosthetic on my leg, and the first day I had it on, it was a little group. Like, I was like, ooh, it's kind of hard to, like, look at my leg like that, because it looked, our prosthetics guy.
Yeah.
He was so
Jonathan
talented.
Jonathan Thornton, was very good.
Very talented.
I think I saw he had a video up fitting a mask as well.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That mask, is the thing that'll gross you out after you watch the person wear it, and then after, puddle of sweat.
Baby wipes is how you clean masks.
Exactly.
Just so you know.
What's that?
You can clean masks with baby wipes.
Oh. Well, I feel bad for the
professional way to do it.
The second guy who puts it on.
Yeah.
I don't think about that.
Yeah, we had a great lead monster, movie monster, Bruce Penton, who donned the mask. And the mask, it's heavy. It's really something that's you don't want to be wearing. It was hot June weather. The guy went into a lake with it. The guy was it was incredible. He really did 100%.
That's the next horror movie that you're writing.
Yeah, exactly.
About all the germs and the bacteria and the mold
in the mask.
New kind of zombies.
It's the mask that actually
pathogen zombies
is the contagion point.
You guys had quite a few people in the film too.
Yeah.
It was like you staged your own festival and music festival and everything.
Were they local bands that were playing?
Who were the bands?
Yeah. We had a band. The gentleman's name was Frank Caswell, and I'm trying to recall the band name.
Luke was asking, were they local
bands?
Yeah,
were they local?
They were from the area.
Well,
yeah,
John Allison's son.
And John Allison, who's Mose Allison's son, the famous blues artist, he was in the movie as well, and helped us out with music selection.
Very cool.
Now, are you guys based in Los Angeles? Are you based in Louisiana, Mississippi area? Or
I'm here now.
Here now? Yeah?
I'm here now.
Nice.
I'm in Burbank.
How long was filming?
Filming was, I believe, 18 days was the initial production, yeah. And we did some pickups after that and so forth. But the initial was 18 days. Very hot weather. The famous hill we were on, one of the last days of the shoot. was just brutal. It was like having our, I hate to say it, but Vietnam moment.
Yeah.
I mean, we were coming out there like just 1,000-yard stare.
Do you know how hot it was?
What's
or
hot?
Do you remember how hot it was?
Well, it gets a lot hotter in the south.
I was gonna say,
so
and
they could
humidity.
Say it's 80,
ooh,
but
yes.
It's probably going to be, yeah. And it, you,
yes.
Walk out and it's like, oh, why'd I bother showering?
Yeah.
And yeah. So and we had one trailer for everybody.
Oh yeah.
And that trailer was looking pretty disgusting.
Did somebody show you
right in there?
Did you guys get gun training?
Yeah, we got some weapon. You got some
weapons training.
A little bit of weapons training.
A little bit. Yeah. And we also like, hey, does this look good? How does this look?
Yeah.
And
it's hard though, because if you get gun training, do these characters look
really
like they have
guns.
Gun training,
right,
like they
right,
just
right.
pick up, you know, they just pick up guns. So like, should they look like, you know, someone that's had gun
maybe.
Training? So
that, well, that's why when it came to writing it, I made it so that I just assume everybody in the South is packing. So they start popping open trunks at one
it's
point
a pretty
in the movie,
good assumption.
And
yeah.
they
we
find
know.
Some major firepower, which in fact is the case.
I tell you what, and plus the character who played your girlfriend. When she got that machete, she was just a force of nature. Ooh. I tell you what, that was crazy.
That's a little bit
she
of
was
homage.
Like the Michonne of this episode. I mean, this movie.
Yeah. That's a little bit of homage to Dawn of the Dead and Tom Savini's machete character as well, in a way, because she has the line that he uses when he gives the zombie a whack in the 78 Mall movie. But then she also uses, well, we also use, God, at one point we have an RPG. At one point, we have. I want to incorporate things that wouldn't necessarily work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you find a Walking Dead style machete or a blade or something like that, and they don't really know how to use it very well.
No.
Yeah.
Except for Michonne.
Except for Michonne.
Yeah.
I have a question. Did any of you get to ride in the monster truck?
The big red truck?
Oh,
yeah.
You didn't get to ride.
No.
But what if
I actually didn't even ask, which is strange for me. Like, I'm always like, hey, can you, like, take me on the back of this airboat? You know?
Yeah. It was, like, all for looks. It was mostly for looks.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
What about the plane?
In the plane. So, when I was writing it, one of the great things.
Did you ride in it?
Flight training?
Yeah, in the plane, you get to ride in the ground.
I had a couple good ground rides.
Yeah. It's the magic of movies. Mm. He looks like he's up there flying, but he's really grounded and safe. And,
yeah.
And so, but when I was writing it, I asked the producers, you know, can this be done? Can that be done? Can I have a helicopter, please? Yes, you can have a helicopter. Can I have explosions? Yes, you can have explosions. Saw a crop duster from Google Earth in the actual airport where we filmed, and I was like, any way we can incorporate this? Can I use it? You know, and we do have it used as a weapon, similar to the way the helicopter's used in 28
Weeks
Later.
What do you guys think of the crop duster?
I don't want to get... We don't want to give away
too much
spoilers
of
that, but the scene with the...
This sounds like a spoiler.
The zombie confrontation scene was just over the top ridiculous. I loved it.
I did too.
It was great. Especially the best part was those of you running behind the plane.
Everything
like,
a plane should
like
be.
Wiping it out off your face and out of your eyes.
That was real. That was not acting.
That was the funnest day
there.
Of shooting was shooting that helicopter scene. Yeah. That was the most fun. It was the first day that we were all like together aside from Clay. And so we really got man, like this is it for us. So that was like, that was a blast.
I love the tone of the movie. I love how it's basically, and when we first saw it, I said, I just want to make sure we get the tone right.
Yeah.
We got it. It's a Sharknado movie, basically.
With a whole
lot more blood.
The spirit of the Sci-Fi Network, over the top.
Yep. What's next?
Next, well, we have the comic book.
Yep.
And we may do a run of the movie in comic form. And the comic actually is a prequel comic that shows we have this company, Globo Biotech, that is kind of our evil Monsanto. Can I say that? Evil Monsanto
style. Go ahead,
And
we might bleep it out.
And so the first zombie outbreak is actually in their headquarters in Texas. And this covers the bases and takes us all the way up to the beginning of the movie, actually.
All right.
Ooh, cool.
And that's what the barrels are up here, right?
The barrels are, and in the movie we have barrels filled with this chemical quidoxin, which they've developed to kill the kudzu. and it backfires spectacularly.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the movie has a release for March 23rd.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We have a screening for March 23rd in Los Angeles. We're actually releasing on video on demand. Mm-hmm. I believe iTunes, Amazon as well on March 13th.
That's correct.
And when and where would people find the comic book?
The comic book, actually, you can find in Burbank right now at,
House of Secrets.
Yeah, wonderful place. They're great, fantastic, and they have it for us. The shop in Santa Clarita, Brave New World.
Fantastic.
And if you go to the theater when it premieres March 23rd.
Yeah, we'll load you up.
now, which theater is it?
Arena Cine Lounge.
So you can go to the Arena Cine Lounge. Just Google them online.
Right.
And we'll get the link from you guys. We'll put it on our site as well.
Yeah. Tickets are on sale. And
free comic book if you go.
Free comic book. And it's also being sold on Amazon. We're going to have it on Comixology soon and so forth. So,
all right. Guys, thank you so much. Go ahead.
I have a fun, since we're towards the end-ish, but question, let's start with people involved with the film and then everybody else. If zombie apocalypse, what is your weapon of choice and why?
Christian,
no,
you're
start
up
with me.
And anything is fair game, either in film, TV, or not featured yet.
I personally like the machete. You don't have to reload. Mm-hmm. It's good in close quarters. Heavy weapon, heavy enough blade, so it doesn't break, because a katana would probably shatter.
I'm gonna go last.
I'll go completely impractical and say like a bazooka, because I feel like you can when you need a bazooka, you need it. Like,
I thought you said impractical. Yeah. I thought you were gonna say a curling iron or something.
Oh no! Like when you need it, you really need it. Like,
you sure can't. I can't the brain.
I can't tell you how many zombie films, horror moves, and I'm like, if they just.
But do you have unlimited ammo? Like, what's going on?
That's the tough part. Yeah.
You gotta consider.
She's gonna game genie. She's gonna game genie it.
I
never run out.
That's awesome.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
She modded her.
All right, Tim.
Unlimited ammo. We could go towards what she's saying, but realistic, non-limited ammo. Maybe a sword, because you'll never run out of ammo, and it's safe. And for me, it would be better than a machete.
Mm-hmm.
More durable, probably.
All right. Cheeseman.
Dang it, he took mine. So what would I think? Like an atomic bomb or a single grenade? But you can't do nothing with a single grenade.
An atomic bomb or a grenade. One of the two.
Yeah, those are so
one shovel to dig underground tunnels.
Yeah. A shovel would be
Shovel's
good.
A good weapon.
Shovel's not bad because you can...
Yeah, you have reach, and you can hold it close to
it. But you might have to go a couple of times before...
I think it would break, though.
Yeah.
That must be one good shovel.
It could be.
Probably
it's from
a beer
Lowe's.
Bottle.
Yeah. A beer bottle.
A broken beer bottle would be good.
There's plenty of those down in the country, I tell you what. Carrie.
Well, I would counter your argument about the katana, because if it was a real one, it would have been the blade would have been folded and made specifically.
Sure.
MythBusters did a whole thing on it.
Yeah.
And that thing would last really well. But it have to be a legit one, and I don't know exactly where you would get a real
Japan.
One. Yeah.
You'd have to see Hanzo and Tori.
Yeah, I gotta, fly all the way over there.
You were there when the apocalypse happened.
Yeah.
You know.
I would have to go with the curling iron. No.
saying, you could stab through the forehead.
It's a long plug.
Yeah. I've definitely hurt myself a couple of times with the curling iron, but or a nail file. I think I like the idea of having reach because I think I would hurt myself more if I had a sword. So something with maybe if you can fashion a knife or something at the end of a staff, much like Morgan has, and then you can kind of, just jab at people's
is it a wooden staff? That's a question.
You can use it to walk, too. That's nice.
Well, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a shotgun with an axe on the end.
An axe?
Yeah. And they're like, why do you have an axe? And then he's like, if you're close quarters, he can use it as an axe or a shotgun.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. It's sort of like a modern-day bayonet, right?
Yeah.
I've got mine.
Oh, tell us,
Jared.
And you're gonna recognize this.
Okay.
This is our transition statement.
A pencil.
It is a flamethrower with a bayonet. Where do we hear that? That's...
She didn't say Talking Dead.
Do not tell us, Megan.
I don't know, though. I know.
I feel like you're going to hurt yourself.
No.
From Talking Dead.
Talking Dead last night. That was
she left before Talking Dead. Oh, no, I left because I had an audition. Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, that's right. The actor who plays Carl.
Chandler.
Chandler Riggs. He, when he was, how old was he? Six years old.
5 and a half when he started.
When he was first starting, his very first interview with Chris Hardwick on the show, Chris Hardwick asked him this question. What is your weapon in the apocalypse? He goes, I want a flamethrower with
a
bayonet.
Panel on a convention.
That's not a bad one.
He was at a convention and that's how he answered.
That's absurd, huh?
That's Chris Hardwick's, on a panel for interview with him.
You're right.
It probably says a different answer every
New York Comic Con.
Yeah, but that's a good point. Like, why don't they, when a horde of zombies is all gathered together, light a fire?
Well, we do in our movie.
You guys like
all about that.
Well, now Walking Dead does it. Yeah. They took it from you.
Well,
you know,
I just have to ask you, those meat pies, any zombie in them? Okay, let's not talk about it.
Do we have meat pies for us tonight?
No, we don't.
Well, Walking Dead is like the Simpsons of zombie, of the zombie genre.
Remember the Simpsons?
And so,
well, we're going to bring that up in a second.
So if you're creating a zombie movie, you have to think, you know, did Walking Dead do this? Walking Dead did it? Walking Dead did it? Oh, my God, you know, and it leaves you with different options.
Angela, could you take us into The Walking Dead? Last night was what? It was the
Goodbye to our dear sweet boy Carl Grimes.
Right. And
I'm in denial. I was in denial when his mother Lori died way back when too, for like weeks. I was like, no, they'll bring her back.
And by the way, we do not need to give a spoiler warning on this because they've been leading up to this for 3 months now.
Yes. They announced
it
before the
show. And what kind of fan are you if you haven't watched it?
By the way, the reason that when you said Homer Simpson, the reason that was so funny, who was the character?
There is a character named
Gavin.
His name is Gavin. He's a lovely gentleman. Yes. Jason, I've met him, having a house in Atlanta and going back and forth between here and Atlanta.
And being a super fan.
Yeah, and being a super fan. And I actually own a house in Sonoy where we film, where they film. We. You know, I take ownership. I invented The Walking Dead. But the actor is quite lovely and he's actually fantastic. But at the viewing party last night, someone mentioned that he sounded like Homer Simpson.
Yep.
And I was like, come on. Oh. But then every time he spoke, now all we could think of is...
That's all we could think of is Homer Simpson.
And
we
much
could...
respect to the actor who plays Gavin. He's great. But then it just got us, it got in our heads. And now every time...
It kind of ruined it because we couldn't get out of it. It was just funny.
It was one of Jim's friends that said that.
Yes. Anyways, what did you think of last night's episode? Anybody who has seen last night's episode?
I thought Morgan was absolutely brutal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was dark. Mm-hmm. That was real dark.
And for those of you who don't know, last night's episode was the goodbye episode to one of the final original characters from The Walking Dead, Carl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God rest his soul.
So I'm like so far behind.
But we'll get you caught up.
Okay.
But she knows.
So have the other characters that have left, that have they all died or they've just left for different reasons?
Dead.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nobody has has anybody left?
Nobody's left of their own accord. They usually get the send off.
Yep.
Yeah, they get a nice little party and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But boy, nobody gets a party like they got last night.
Last night,
yes.
That last night was
everything
a proper
you've ever
off.
Wanted
was...
to everybody on the show.
That was
what
the
did y'all
long
think
goodbye.
Of Carl's dream.
And
of a
that was
society.
Because last night there was a little bit of a debate. I mean, I'm on the side of it was definitely Carl's dream, not like a not actually a dream, but like his wish for a future of togetherness. Mm. And then people were saying last night, no, it's actually Rick. But remember, we see him leaning up against a tree.
Yeah.
And he's hurt, but this was in the real world. That wasn't a dream sequence.
I believe with you. I agree with you.
You believe in me.
He believes with you.
It's this dream, guys. I tell you what.
It's strong, Luke.
I think just the vision that we saw was definitely the utopian version that Carl was wishing and hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
With creepy...
Uncle Negan.
Creepy Negan,
Uncle Negan
child abductor.
Yeah.
That's like, hey there.
Picking the tomatoes at the end. Hey, little Judith. That was fairly
She's
creepy.
About to abduct her.
What do you think? Yeah, that's a little bit creepy.
I mean, I'm with you. I haven't seen the show since probably last season because it got really hard for me to watch.
Oh, I and stopped around like three.
That's what I mean. I was like, I was just, I had, I don't know what episode it was, but I like shut my laptop and I'm like, that's it. I can't.
A lot of
it sounds like it's been too hard. It's just more. It's just frustrating. Hey guys, there's zombies in the woods. I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm gonna go in the woods.
Don't.
And like, just so many dumb moments that this show is so frustrating. And that's why I'll come back to it later.
Can I throw this out there though? As someone who loves the show, I'm leaning up. I thought last night's episode, and I'm going to agree with the naysayers who are in the room. It was so...
You are the naysayer.
I am the naysayer. Yeah.
It was say it.
An entire hour, at least 10 scenes, of Carl laying there dying, staring at his dad saying, "Be better, Daddy. I love you." And then the next scene.
Exactly what he said.
"Be better,
like
Michonne.
Now.
I love you." The very next scene.
TV's made us...
I love you.
Human.
I love you, Daryl. Be good. Oh my gosh, how many of those scenes did we have to see?
We had a lot, but that, you know, I think
it was ridiculous.
It's realistic for once, like TV's usually not.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, it was more effective. The montage near the beginning was more effective with Carl writing the cards, and I don't know why, but I did. I started crying in the dark on your couch by myself. But it might have been cheesy, but whatever.
That scene was effective.
The blue handprints on the porch next to Judith, and
a good song.
And that was
smiling with the sun.
What was the song?
I don't know the song, but it was pretty awesome.
Someone had listed it online. Yeah. I think Hollywood Reporter. Someone wrote it up, but that was more effective to me because. You know, he was okay with it. He knew what was going to go down, and he was okay with it. And that was more sad to me than the end. But they handled the end with class. The whole, Michonne and Rick, I think, being on the porch or the veranda or whatever it's called down there.
That was a gut punch. Yeah.
Yeah, with all you hear is a silence gunshot.
Yeah, they walk out front. And I thought we saw them sitting out front and the sun had risen. It was in the morning. The trauma had passed, and I thought they had spared us from the final death moment.
No, nope.
But they did
until
not.
Until you hear.
But then we heard it, and everyone, and I think all of America felt that in their stomach, the same way that
they felt it in their head.
I felt it in my stomach.
Okay,
that's a deviation from the comic.
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah. But well, this is real.
This one's huge. Yeah.
Okay. Big. I wanted them to be as dark as they were early on, where the little girl killed her, like, little buddy, sibling, whatever.
Lizzie,
and I'm like, they didn't do that. I'm like,
look at the
she killed
look
another
at the flowers,
kid.
Lizzie. Look at the flowers.
That was way cooler that was a in the graphic episode. Novel.
Wish they kid. Hey, you guys killed kids in this one. And
Country Fried Zone.
You did. You're the one blowing up all the little kids.
Man, I was hoping that would never come out, but okay.
With your AK.
AK-40s. Oh, my God. You would love it. They're blowing their heads up left and right.
And the kid that played the zombie, he was like, "I've watched all The Walking Dead. It's my dream. Can you please, like, I want to
he wasn't
get."
That old.
She's softening it up. No, trust me, guys, it was great.
He loved it. He was like the best. Yeah. Like reaction.
We really had some good extras. And the thing is, they're non-pro extras. I saw one of them walking down the street and. The rest of our crew had cleared out. He still had makeup on. He still had his crappy clothes on. And I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't coming true.
They were so excited to be a part of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to be a zombie?
Yeah.
I mean, really, who doesn't?
I don't
especially
know.
When drinking zombies.
But exactly.
That's a great example of filming locally and able to use local talent, businesses, and then
I love that.
Filming here. Yeah.
But in Walking Dead does that as well, to get back to Walking Dead. But no, there's a lot of, they're mainly British talent, if you want to be honest, but they use a lot of the industry of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Speaking of Carl.
Speaking of what? Carl and a send off to Carl. What is this?
Who's
that we're
that dashing young Carl? Carla, no. I posted this
a
while back
the tongue out,
when
right?
That's the real Chandler Riggs on the bottom with his wax figure Carl. So I can't really. I think the one on the left
Carl.
That you see is the real one, right?
Yes, and the tongue out. Yeah.
And then at one point, when I had first cut my hair short, I just wanted to cosplay as Carl, and I still have the little homage hat to Carl. I stole it from Judith because remember he gave it to Judith.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it's come
she's,
to me.
She's stealing from kids now.
Yeah.
Are you gonna do pita bread, Carl? Now with the patch that we kept talking about.
Last night it was mentioned
bread.
That the eye patch looked like pita bread.
We had somebody at our viewing party that was very unhappy with the episode and said that Carl's eye patch looked like pita bread. And
yeah, they might just.
And then I got really hungry for hummus. But, you know, whatever.
And then we turned it off when. we made some of these and started watching your film. No, but overall.
Yeah, we're the antidote to the darkness.
But overall, the episode, the Carol and the Morgan and the Ezekiel scene at the end, what do you guys make of that?
Well, we're glossing over a very important piece, which is, remember, we don't even, the big theme of this is calling back to, you know, the whole quote of, let my mercy prevail over my wrath. Remember, that was mentioned when Carl first ran into Siddiq at the gas station. Again, it's mentioned and brought up again in last night's episode. And it's Carl wanting a better world and wanting his dad's mercy to overcome his wrath. And we'll see if that unfolds. Yeah.
His confession, too, where he confessed because he killed somebody in cold blood at the prison surrendered. Yes.
I thought it was interesting that every time we saw one of Carl's dreams, they were then throwing the dirt in the ground. Ooh. And everything. So are they burying his dream? Mm. At the end, they weren't. That the end was left more ambiguous. They weren't. You know,
but when you call your dad old man, does he really see him as that old?
Why
of a
was
man?
Rick so old?
It's the stress. That's how you get premature wrinkles. Yeah. It's the post-apocalyptic
4 years.
World.
They basically didn't. They
he was an old man with an old gray.
Yeah,
mullet.
They ran out of sunscreen a long time ago, and they're in the south.
Oh my gosh.
It's the stress. He's been dyeing his hair all along. That's what.
He's the only one who aged, except
he's
for Judith.
Been using just for men,
just
for Rick.
But last question about The Walking Dead. Last two questions. What do you make of the scene with Morgan, Carol, and Ezekiel? It carried some significance.
And a surprise little.
And a
surprise little pop.
Yeah. What was going on there?
I don't know. In a way, Carol. Remember, Carol was pretty lethal.
Yeah.
For a long time.
And then she had her crisis.
And she had her crisis.
Everybody's so bipolar on the show.
And she trained, you know, she was training kids and everything. Yep. And now she has this one kid that didn't really like the outcome, I think. And everybody wants to see. You know, the original plan was to wipe out everybody, all of Negan's crew, everybody. And now they're having second thoughts. So, and there's a moral crisis there.
Right.
Well, even with the editing, we are showing between Carl's, you know, dying and saying, don't forget, overcome your anger. Let's unite
dozen
people.
Times.
And then it kept going, you know, cutting to Morgan just debating whether or not he's going to kill Gavin. And I think
Morgan
was
a serial killer last night, wasn't it? It turned into a horror movie.
He's his old self. He was there, then he's here.
Yeah,
He's bipolar. He's either super nice or super crazy.
And the killer, you know, the little boy, Henry, don't forget he's the brother of Benjamin. And I think Benjamin, someone reminded me that Benjamin was the one who started Morgan's wrath to begin with. So now it's a cyclical.
Oh, Benjamin's the one who got killed.
The brother, from Lost.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
So this is a cyclical happening with the children and the idea of the children being the future. Now we've got a cycle of violence and killing and death, and we see it last night with Henry, and that's what makes Morgan think maybe I should ease up.
All right,
they're bringing Michael Myers. He's young Michael Myers. And he's going to become Michael Myers and Walking Dead.
Crossover.
That's the theory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did you hear that Kane Hodder wants to play Michael Myers? That's one of his dreams. Yes. Yeah. We'll go into that some other time. Last question, Walking Dead. What was that final image of Rick on the hilltop, his back to a beautiful golf course, bleeding, or at least covered with blood, with the stained glass
window? We only have theories at that point.
What do you think that is? Because that's how we began the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First image of the season.
A lot of people forgot.
You know, I think that the war is ending, and they have to come to terms with what to do next. And, you know, I mean, don't forget, both Morgan and Rick have now lost significant members of their family, sons. And there's no future for them, really. So they have to reevaluate their own futures. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. Jeez, I totally 100% agree with that. Like, he had blood on his hand, but then he had this look of not like I'm about to die, not like I got to go do something. He had this look of almost relief, where he almost looked like he was just like, all right, now I got to decide what the future will be. So I totally think it's like that moment where he killed Negan. He's probably a couple feet in front of him off camera. Like, it was almost just the two of them having a showdown, like, not much else around them. And then he just kind of, Negan, like, stabbed him or whatever. And I don't think he's going to die, but I just feel like he finally is like, I fulfilled my mission, and now I'm going to do what Carl told me to do and whatever that
is. I think that he tried to make good on his promise. When you make a promise to a dying child, you got to keep it.
Yeah.
And he said, he promised Carl that he was going to fulfill what Carl's dream was. So I think he extended mercy to Negan, and this is what you get.
All right.
So that's it.
Well, listen.
But he made a promise.
Cheers.
What, to Carl. What zombie I have left.
What's that little zombie I have left? Mr. Riggs.
Suck mine down. Cheers.
You did a great job. We will miss you on The Walking Dead. And because I am ready for zombie number two, or as Brad says, we're ready to suck down some medical margaritas, we're going to bring our show to a close. Guys, thank you so much for...
Thank you for having us.
Thank you guys for being tonight. This has been so fun. Come back again.
Would love to.
And I hear you guys are going to be down at WonderCon. The show, will be down at WonderCon, so we will see you down there. We'll hopefully see you at the premiere over at the Arena Lounge. And then remember, March 13th, it's out on video on demand everywhere you can download. Be looking for Attack of the Killer... Wait, Attack of the Southern Fried Zombies.
Southern Fried Zombies.
I was thinking of...
Sometimes you want to say Attack Killer Tomatoes.
And you get your comic book when you come to the premiere on
the 23rd
March
23rd at the Arena Cine Lounge.
All right.
9:30 p.m. You can buy your tickets online.
You're guaranteed fun.
I am guaranteed going to see it again. We've seen it twice already.
Well, we hope you go because we're going to be there too.
All right, we'll see you guys there. Listen, to all you guys watching, please subscribe here to The Scare Guy Show. You can find me at Con Guy Jim. You can also find me on thescareguy.com. Where can we find everybody else?
Yeah, you guys can find me online at Carrie DeLane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And tune in tomorrow to Horror Movie News on AfterBuzz TV. We're going to have the director and cinematographer for The Ritual on at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then you can watch it later, too, if you can't tune in live. Also premiering is AfterBuzz Anime Reviews. We're talking about episodes 1 through 6 of Kakegurui. And it is one crazy show.
Because Carrie doesn't need a life outside of this place. All right.
I'm Angela Relucio. Find me on Instagram, Let's Chat, and Facebook, and keep the conversation going on Twitter.
You can see her on?
On.
What's the show?
TV and numerous things. But Code Black. And yes, we have a season 3 premiere of Code Black on CBS coming to you in May, so make sure you tune in same time Wednesday nights at 10.
Great. Actually, I'm on Twitter at The Acedian, or just at Acedian, A-C-E-D-I-A-N. Find me and freak out.
Like it.
I'm Megan Few again, and you can find me on Instagram, Megan Few, or Megan _Few. Yeah. All right.
And she has a website, too.
I do have a website.
Boom.
All right.
And I'm Timothy Haug. You can find me at I Am Timothy Haug on Instagram and Facebook, Twitter as well. I hope you come and enjoy the fun.
Yeah.
And I'm Cheeseman on the Couch. You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyLuke and on thescaredguy.com, and also making these lovely zombies.
Thank you. Sure.
We'll put the recipe
online.
I'm
watching Walking Dead.
Also, make sure you check out our other show called The Con Guy. It's the Con Guy Comic-Con Prep Show. A lot of us are always on there as well. We keep you up to date on everything happening in fandom and the world of Comic-Cons. Also, be checking out the X-Files After Show, which starts up again next week when the X-Files returns. The Olympics are over. It's time to get back to the X-Files. You'll find me there. All right, guys.
All right.
Thank you so much for a great zombie-fied episode.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you guys soon.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.